Just bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord God, we desire to hear from you this morning, so we ask that you speak to our hearts in this time. Help open us to all that you would have for us. Holy Spirit, come and minister to us. Draw us closer to you and to one another. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6. I'll begin with verse 24. I'll be reading through verse 34. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So do not worry. That word so in verse 34 can also be translated therefore. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is easier said than done, right? I wonder if you, like me perhaps, have been so anxious about a situation that it completely captivates and controls your life. Or if you've ever been blindsided by a situation or even a potential situation in such a way that your focus goes there and it's hard to bring it back. And I would say that for many of us, and in many ways, we might say, and rightfully so, there are a lot of things in this life for us to be anxious about, to be worried about. And yet Scripture tells us, I mean, just in these verses we read, it says, therefore do not worry, three times. Scripture admonishes us to not be anxious. And yet we so easily get stuck there, stuck in that place of worry and anxiety. So what do we do? What do we do when we get stuck in that place? I think one of the things that we need to consider is what I alluded to last week, as we talk about ways that our faith can become more practical. There comes a time where we have to look at ourselves and make some decisions. Am I going to intend to do something about a life of anxiety and worry, or am I going to intend to remain there? Now, I realize that, again, this is easier said than done. And yet, might there be ways? Surely there are ways, if Scripture commends us over and over again, not to be worried and anxious. There must be ways to move forward in that journey, forward towards life. Well, April 29th, 2012, you all would remember that day so well. It was a Sunday, and many of us gathered here, and I preached to you a sermon called Seek First the Kingdom of God on this very text. So we're good, right? We could just move on, pray, closing prayer, we're out of here. I'm sure you all remember it really, really well. And me giving you the date just brought it right back. But for those who maybe can't quite pull it back, let me just give you a quick summary of that day. There's a guy named Glenn Stassen who is a writer, is a professor, wrote a book called Living the Sermon on the Mount that has become my favorite book on the Sermon on the Mount. And in that, he puts before you three, what he calls triadic structures, or not three, 13 triadic structures that he says are the foundation of the Sermon on the Mount. That was the messiest drink of water I've ever taken in my life. Hey, it is what it is, right? No pretense here. 13 triadic structures that make up the Sermon on the Mount. And in each of those structures, there are three movements. He says that Jesus was affirming a traditional teaching that they would have known in that day, that he then brings about a diagnosis of a vicious cycle. In other words, something that we can get stuck in our lives, this vicious cycle of sin or brokenness or whatever that may. And then he teaches a way of deliverance out of that vicious cycle. And these verses that I've read are one of these triadic structures. The affirmation of the traditional teaching, you cannot, or no one can have two masters. You cannot serve both God and wealth, or God and money. That would be a teaching that would have been traditional. They would have heard that. People would have understood that. At least would have been familiar with that. But then he introduces the vicious cycle underneath that. You will hate the one and love the other. In other words, if you try to hold two masters, if you try to serve both God and money, at one point in time, a choice will be made and you will hate one and love the other. And this isn't a healthy place to be. And then his way of deliverance in that is to strive first for the kingdom of God and for God's righteousness, and trust that all of these things will be given to you as well. And so the teaching that takes up most of the verses in this section are just background information within this way of deliverance. For example, consider the birds, consider the lilies, consider the grass of the field. Does God not provide for all of them? And yet, aren't you more important? So surely God will too provide for you. It says it's the Gentiles, those who are outside the faith, those who are not followers of Jesus, that strive for these things, that make it their goal, make it their priority to accumulate and allow the wealth and the pursuit of money to be their God. But as followers of Jesus, we are to strive for the kingdom of God, to seek first the kingdom and righteousness and trust that all of these things will be added. And so that's the foundation of the teaching. And I wanted to allude back to that because I want us to understand that this idea of worry and anxiety in these verses is within the context of God's provision. And as a part of a teaching on why we should be seeking the kingdom and God's righteousness as opposed to allowing this pursuit of wealth to be our God. And yet in this practical implication of verse 34, I see another invitation for us, and that's really what we're going to dive into a little bit this morning. Because our provision, or God's provision, is really just one source of many sources of our worry and anxiety. So verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. First of all, let's talk about this word worry. The root of this word speaks to something that divides. It separates or distracts us. Defined another way, it's to not have a single eye. In other words, to be worried or anxious is to be caught up on lots of things that are distracting us from maintaining a single thing. Now, it's interesting to me to think about that because it's pretty frequent, if I think about worry in that way, that I would say on a pretty regular basis, I'm distracted. It's hard for me to focus on a single thing because I have all these other distractions in my mind. And maybe that's just me, but I wonder if you find yourself in that place too. And so while we may not say, well, I really have a problem with worry or I really have an anxiety issue, I wonder how many of us find ourselves distracted by things in our minds that prevent us from being single focused. Because there's enough going on in this world that if we allow ourselves, we could never be focused. We could be distracted and live our lives as distracted individuals, caught up in this sense of worry and anxiety. And I love that Jesus isn't denying that there are things that could cause us to worry. He's basically saying, guess what? Tomorrow there's going to be lots of things to be worried about. And today's got enough trouble of its own. There's plenty of things even today that if you allow yourself, you could be worried. But I read in this a really helpful practical tip. And that is, I wonder what it would be like if we learn how to stay in the present moment with Jesus. What it would be like to stay in the present moment with Jesus. Have you ever been really worried or stressed about something down the road in the future, maybe later in the day or in a week? And then you get there and you experience and you're like, why was I worried about that? Why was I so anxious about that? And it could be somewhat trivial things like riding a roller coaster. I remember when I was a kid being really anxious about getting on a roller coaster. And then when I got on the roller coaster, I was like, not only should I have not been worried, that was really fun. Now, some of you may have been worried about getting on a roller coaster, got on a roller coaster and got off and said, I had every right to be worried about that. I will never do that again the rest of my life. But there's a lot of things like that. That's kind of a trivial example where we think of something in the future, and we allow ourselves to get so worried and anxious and caught up in that, that we're not present in the moment. There's this quote, and I actually did a little research behind it and found that it's attributed to like three or four different people. But I've heard it always attributed to Mark Twain, who said, I am an old man and I've had a great many troubles, but most of them never even happened. I'm an old man and I've had a great many troubles, yet most of them never really happened, never even happened. This idea that so much of the trouble and worry and anxiety in his life were over things that never even came to fruition. And yet I would say that while these are good reasons that we get caught up worried about things that may not even happen, may not even play out, or may play out in such a way that we realize I didn't have anything to be worried about, that the main reason we need to be concerned about this is because God is in the present moment. God is in the present moment. Seek first the kingdom? Well, guess where we seek the kingdom? In the here and now. Will God be in the future? Yes, when the future is the present. Is God in the future now? Not in ways that we can experience it. So God can't meet me right now in what may happen a week from now that I'm anxious about. God can only meet me right now, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, where I'm at, where I'm present. Does that make sense? Not do this if that makes any sense. If not, fall over. Okay, we're in good shape. So God can only meet us right here in the present moment. And so we want to learn how we can stay and abide and dwell in the here and now and not allow ourselves to get distracted and caught up in what may be. So I'm going to offer you a few practical ways that we can start moving in this direction. And the first is with prayer. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, says, "Do not be anxious, but in prayer and petition, offer these things up to the Lord." Excuse me. Offer these things up to the Lord. Bring these things before the Lord, these anxieties before the Lord in prayer. Allow the anxieties to turn into prayer requests. Allow yourself to move from being anxious to being in prayer. See it as an invitation. There's something on my heart and mind. I want to sit in prayer with the Lord. And do that. Sit with the Lord. Offer these things to God. And ultimately, in that prayer, we want to work on praying in a way that moves us to a place of relinquishment. Moves us to a place of letting go of these worries and anxieties and offering them to God to hold for us. Many of you have a great tool for this: Essential Practices of the Faith. A lot of you picked up this book. I challenge you to find it when you go home. Brush the dust off of it, and when you do, you'll find that there's a section in here on relinquishment that starts like this. I mean, this is kind of the title of the section. What should I do when I'm worried or afraid? And this is a great prayer tool to just help lead you through a process of letting go of those worries and fears and offering up to God to hold with you. The Essential Practices of the Faith. Another tool that I'll use sometimes is just a simple prayer where it's called palms up, palm down, and it engages your body. Okay, where I can imagine my palm, or I can place my palms up and I can sit in prayer and I can say, "Lord, what are the things I'm carrying right now? The worries and the anxieties that are distracting me, causing me to not be present." Okay, and then I'll flip the palms over and say, "Lord, I'm going to release those to you. I'm going to release them into your care." Okay, and then I'll turn my palms back up and say, "Now fill me with what I need in the midst of this." Or sometimes I'll do it with open fists, closed fists. "Lord, what am I holding on to? What are the anxieties? What are the worries? What are the things I'm afraid of? What's that which has me distracted that you're inviting me to let go of?" And then in prayer, "Lord, I want to offer those to you. Take them, remove them, and come fill me with your presence." I have a friend that has this little dog called a worry eater. Oh, maybe you've seen them. They got a little zipper for a mouth, and you can put your worries in it and zip it up. And you can ask the worry eater to hold your worries until you're at a place where you can take those worries to the Lord in prayer. Right? These are all tools that we can use. And again, the goal isn't, "Lord, take these away so that I don't have to think about them." The goal is, "Lord, I sit in prayer with you. I have these things on my mind. They're a distraction. Come meet me in the midst of it. Be present with me in the midst of it." Number two, offer yourself in service to Jesus. In very practical ways, if you find yourself really caught up in the midst of worry and anxiety, find some very practical ways to serve Jesus, to be a gift to others. Bake cookies for your neighbors. Cook a meal for someone that you know might have a need, or maybe they don't. Deliver flowers to brighten someone's day. Visit some folks in a assisted living or in a nursing home. Send cards, write a letter to a loved one that you haven't been in touch with for a while. Even if you have, there's something about getting a handwritten letter that can warm the heart. Make a phone call, mow the neighbor's grass. Live into acts of kindness. Be the love of Jesus. Why? Because if we can be the love of Jesus to others, then we can experience the love of Jesus in that present moment. Because as we can allow Jesus to use us as a gift to others, then in the process of doing that, Jesus meets us in that space and allows us to experience Christ in the now. Ann Voskamp, in her book, The Broken Way, says this, that by doing this, this is how you make the ever-present Christ fully present. This is how we make the Christ that we know mentally is present, is always with us, will never forsake us. These are ways that we can allow that Jesus to be a Jesus that all of a sudden we're fully experiencing. Because when we live for Jesus and we serve out of the love of Jesus, we too experience and feel that love. The third practical suggestion I would give you is that we begin to position ourselves to have a raised awareness of God's presence. This is just another way of saying prayer, but it's a little bit different type of prayer. This is a type of prayer that helps us understand that one of the ways that the Holy Spirit ministers to us in this world is by allowing us to become aware of God's presence with us. And it comes from an understanding that the Holy Spirit ministers in many, many ways. Speaks in many, many ways. And so it allows us to be quiet with ourselves and invite the Holy Spirit to use various other ways of communicating with us. That may be music. You may be a person that really can, if you allow yourself, if you quiet yourself, can experience the presence of Jesus by listening to music. It can be artwork, both enjoying it and doing it. For some people, why do you think these books are so popular right now, these coloring books? Bibles now that have spots in the Bible where you can color. Like, these are gifts that God's given us, ways that we can become aware of God's presence as we create or enjoy God's creation. Getting outside, going for a walk, turning a walk into a prayer walk. You see, what's important about this is the intentionality. It's how we enter into it. It's not just, I'm going to turn on the radio because I feel like listening to music. It's, Jesus, I'm going to turn on the radio and I'm going to ask you to use this. I'm going to ask you to use this music to minister to me. Raise my awareness of how you're present here. Going for a walk and saying, Jesus, show up to me on this walk. Raise my awareness of how you're present with me. Show me your presence. And it may come with a bird. It may come with an animal. It may come with something we see or hear. But if we ask the Spirit to raise that awareness, God might meet us there. I believe God will meet us there. We read Scripture, but we read Scripture not so that we can increase our knowledge, but we read Scripture, and before we read, we say, Holy Spirit, make this living. Open my heart to it. Help me see how you're present in this Scripture, how it speaks to my life. And in these and many other ways, we begin to develop a contemplative prayer life. A prayer life where we can sit and rest and have a raised awareness that God's loving presence is right there with us. See, it's not that in our prayers, God always makes the situation go away. In fact, I would say that's not the norm. But it is that as we learn how to, in the midst of our anxiety and worry, sit with Jesus, God shows us how he's with us in the midst of the situation. How he will provide us with the strength that we need. The perseverance that we feel like we don't have. The courage that we may need to enter into this situation. I love using deep breathing techniques. If I find myself getting worried or anxious or really caught up, sometimes on Sunday morning before I come into this space, I'll sit in my office and just do some deep breathing techniques. All kinds of science tells you it calms your heart. Just allowing ourselves to be still. There's a prayer that Terry Wardle in his book, Every Breath We Take, develops. Many of you have done it with me, the three R's, where we rest in God's presence, receive Christ's love, and then respond to God's love. As we begin to practice these things, these aren't normal for us. It's hard. But as we practice these things, more and more we can begin to experience the presence of Jesus, who, by the way, says to us, I stand at the door and knock. See, I believe God's just waiting for us to give him a little bit of room to come and make himself known, to bring us into this relationship, this intimacy of a relationship where we can experience him more and more. Because here's what's true about that statement in verse 34. Today has enough troubles. And guess what? Tomorrow will have enough troubles of its own. They're not going away. And so how can we learn to experience the presence of Jesus in the present moment, in spite of the circumstances, when we're most anxious and worried? Can we sit in prayer or in service or in contemplation and allow the Lord to meet us in this space? And so as we enter into a time of prayer and reflection, I believe this is an invitation that God has for us this morning. And so I just want to invite you into that space. So we're going to spend a few minutes in prayer, as we always do, but I'm going to guide this a little bit for us. And my prayer is simply that Holy Spirit, you'll come and just allow each of us to have a little bit more of an awareness of your presence. And so maybe you're carrying a lot of worries and anxieties this morning. And so I just want to pray and ask that the Lord will meet you in the midst of those. So I invite you to close your eyes. To quiet yourselves. And to take some nice deep breaths. When I do my deep breathing, I inhale through my nose. Hold that just a little bit, and then exhale through the mouth. We're all family members here. People around you should be able to hear you breathing. Nice deep breaths. As I pray, I often will ask, Holy Spirit, come, raise my awareness of your presence. I'm just going to speak a few scriptures over you as you remain still and present with the Lord. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. Jesus invites us, come to me, all you that are weary, that are carrying heavy burdens, come to me, and I will give you rest. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Lord, meet us in this space. In the midst of the distractions, in the midst of the worry, in the midst of the anxiety, may we always know and experience the truth that you are here with us. That your loving presence remains. We thank you for that promise and for any way that you've sealed that upon our hearts in this time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.